Governor Snyder recently signed a measure into law strengthening a provision that requires any group or organization seeking to put an issue on the ballot collect all valid signatures within a confined 180-day period. Now, according to one group, that may cost Michigan voters the opportunity to decide whether fracking should be allowed in the state. It's a law that's likely to undergo legal challenges. I'm David Fair, and welcome to this week's edition of Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. Our guest today is campaign director for the Committee to Ban Fracking in Michigan. Luann Kozma certainly wants the law changed, and Luann, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get into the legalities of the petition drive itself, let's cover exactly what your petition language asks voters to agree to.
Okay. The petition language involves a couple of things. First, we're going to be banning horizontal fracking, which is the drilling that goes vertically and then horizontally for miles. So these are newer type wells that are much larger than the previous wells that only went vertically or just went very shallowly.
And environmentally also, speaking, pose a greater threat to our waterways, our underground aquifers and such, correct?
Correct. It's a matter of scale and magnitude because these are so much larger, so much deeper. They're using much more water, many more chemicals, you know, much more amounts. So that's part of the problem. The other thing that our proposal will do, is change the law that currently says that the DEQ is required to foster the development of the natural gas and oil industry along the most favorable conditions and with a view to maximizing oil and gas. So that's been in the law since 1939. It pretty much requires the DEQ to approve every well, which, you know, they do, and look out for industry as opposed to people's health and the environment. And we put that new language in there. Thirdly, we're also going to be banning frack waste from coming here from other states. Currently, we're getting waste from Pennsylvania and probably other states as well.
Because there is money to be made in the storage of such waste.
Right, the storage, the disposal, and the processing.
With natural gas as cheap as it is right now, a lot of energy companies that would engage in this kind of fracking have backed off some because the market simply won't support it. Is that something you predict will change in years to come, bringing fracking back to the fore and perhaps more prevalent in our state?
It's true. It slowed down just a little bit. I would have said so if you had interviewed me early yesterday, but just yesterday, a few more frack wells were just approved by the DEQ up in Mount Morenci County, which is in northeastern Lower Peninsula. But we're also facing other aspects of the frack industry besides the drilling itself, where we have proposed injection wells, which are essentially old oil or gas wells, and sometimes they make a new injection well just for the storage of the liquid waste. And any landfill in Michigan can also take the drill cuttings and that kind of tailings from the actual drilling. And then all of the infrastructure involving the frack industry includes pipelines and compressor stations. So we're beginning to see that happen more and more with new natural gas plants being built in Michigan.
You are listening to Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Luann Kozma. Luann is the campaign director for the Committee to Ban Fracking in Michigan. When exactly was the petition drive first launched?
The petition that we have right now was started about a year ago in May of 2015, but this is our third petition. We've been at this since 2012. The first year, we didn't really know what we were doing. We tried to do a petition that would actually amend the state constitution. Then we changed our plan and switched over to a statutory initiative in 2013. We thought that the 180-day rule applied to both. And the two different types of initiative, you know, they look the same. It's still a petition on paper and, you know, looks the same to us and to a person signing. But what it's actually going to do, a statutory initiative, is just going to create a law that, just like the legislators create laws in Lansing. So it's a lower bar in that, slightly, in that we have to collect fewer signatures. But the proposals that would amend the Constitution actually changed, you know, the language of the Constitution. So when those are submitted, they go directly to the vote of the people.
So how many signatures are you required to gather with this statutory initiative?
252,523.
And where are you now?
We're over 207.
And based on the 180-day time frame, where are you in that process in this third effort to get the signatures?
Well, that's the confusing thing. Back when we started, we did think that the 180-day rule applied to us and all, you know, statutory and constitutional amendment initiatives. But actually, when you look back at the history of this law, that's not the case. What happened was in 1963, we got a new constitution. There was a big constitutional convention, and the people who framed the constitution thought a lot about these two types of initiatives, and they were in the previous version of the constitution as well. But the statutory initiatives are actually in Article 2, Section 9, and constitutional amendment initiatives are in Article 12, Section 2. Okay, so they say different things in those two different sections. In 1973, the law about restricting the signature gathering to 180 days was immediately struck down as unconstitutional by Attorney General Frank Kelly. And that Attorney General opinion held for 12 years, from 73 through 86. What happened in 86 was very interesting. Two constitutional amendment initiatives were going forward, and they took over 3.5 years to collect the signatures, because what the Attorney General decided also at that time in 1974 was that no, the people have the right to collect these signatures beyond the 180 days. That's an unreasonable restriction. And because the Constitution says that every 4 years the signature requirement is recalculated, he interpreted that as, okay, we have 4 years in between the two elections for governor. So that's the way people conducted initiative between 1973 and 1986. And one of the very interesting initiatives that did succeed and we enjoy today is a bill that, a statutory initiative that removed sales tax from food and prescription drugs. In 1986, these two initiatives that were trying to amend the Constitution ran into a legal snag, and the Consumers Power Company sued over one of them, and that resulted in a Supreme Court decision that overturned the Attorney General's opinion on constitutional amendment initiatives, the ones that are under Article 12, Section 2, but the court did not rule on Article 2, Section 9. For some strange reason, which is totally illegal, the state applied that decision to both when they should not. So we're calling them out on that. We sued the state on June 1, showing that indeed it is unconstitutional to impose any time restriction, including the 180-day restriction, on statutory initiatives.
And yet here we are.
And here we are.
Well, do you have a hearing date on this lawsuit?
No, not yet. The state has replied and has asked for dismissal of the case. So we are in the process of replying to that motion. We may not have a court decision for, you know, quite a few months yet, which is why we have to continue the campaign without knowing, you know, the outcome at this point. So we are continuing using our current petition. We are using all 207,000 signatures gathered to date and continuing on from there. And because there really is no time limit specified in the Constitution.
For now, the petition drive continues, and you will await decisions from the court to see how this proceeds forward.
You know, this is really going to change ballot initiatives in Michigan forever. In fact, it had been this way for a long time, and the court decisions of the past and the Constitution itself are on our side. So we're very optimistic. We hope people will join in the campaign anew. We have a great summer ahead of us for collecting signatures, and if people care about this issue, we urge them to get involved by volunteering right away at letsbanfracking.org.
Luann, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
That is Luann Kozma, campaign director for the Committee to Ban Fracking in Michigan. If you'd like to find out more information, visit our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's a regular Wednesday feature, and it's presented in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division. And it's heard only on 89.1 WEMU.